boomerang is supposed to return when it leaves your hand. But a boomerang kid? Well, that's something else entirely. I am Rob West. Do you have a boomerang kid? That's a term for an adult child that's returned home, like a boomerang, and now lives with you again. If so, you're not alone. We'll talk about what you can do about it. And it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, so I said you're not alone if you have a boomerang kid living in your basement. We know that because the financial group Thrivent actually does an annual boomerang kid survey. The latest one, just conducted in May, found that 41% of parents have an adult child currently living with them. The three most common reasons given for this were increasing rent and home prices, 35%, needing additional financial support after completing high school or college, 20%, and job loss, 13%. No doubt the disruptions caused by COVID have also contributed to the boomerang kid boom. Even though employers were desperate for workers in the later stages of the pandemic, and employment remains relatively strong. Now, an adult child living at home in and of itself may not be a big drag on parents' finances if you're only providing what's called three hots and a cot. It's when you start picking up the tab for their smartphone, student loans, and car payments that things can get out of hand in a hurry. Many parents are willing to help their kids even to the point of their own detriment, even when it jeopardizes their retirement. In a brand new Bankrate survey, around half of parents said they've sacrificed emergency savings and debt payoff efforts to help their adult children. 43% said they'd tapped into retirement savings to help their kids. This inability to cut the financial umbilical cord can have a detrimental impact on both parents and children. The kids may be begin to expect regular financial handouts and become dependent on them. So what to do about it? Well, first is realizing that you should do something about it. You don't want to have an adult child living at home unless there are mitigating circumstances, such as caring for you if you're disabled. Proverbs 10:4 reads, "A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." As parents, we always want to help our children, but at the same time, we don't want to encourage our children to have a slack hand. Finding the dividing line between helping and hurting can be difficult, and that often leads to tension when spouses disagree on where one ends and the other begins. But it doesn't have to be a question of throwing your kid out on the street or breaking your budget. You can take on this challenge gradually. First of all, you need to set a non-negotiable requirement. Your boomerang child must have a job and be earning income. The type of job isn't important. Set a deadline. For example, moving out day is 2 months from now if you're not yet working. There are plenty of jobs available, so this shouldn't be a problem. Once your boomerang kid is earning money, you can sit down with him or her and set up a budget and a financial plan. First and foremost, in that plan will be saving to get their own place. You need to impress upon the child the need to live below one's means so that you can save. It's key to all future financial success. You can offer to match your child's savings temporarily to accelerate the process. You want your child to save for an apartment, but also to save for emergencies. Their budget must allow for that once they're on their own. Otherwise, something will come up, like a job loss or a major car repair, and they'll be borrowing from you or moving back in. Of course, all of this is much easier if you are a financial role model. There's no better way to teach your children about wise money management than by showing them how to do it. Proverbs 22:6 tells us, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it." It's never too late to start teaching your children financial responsibility. And when you do, your boomerang child can once again leave your hand, this time successfully. I hope that's been an encouragement to you. Hey, before we take our first break, let me remind you about the FaithFi app. It's a great way for you to develop your spending plan. And by the way, it could be a great resource for that boomerang child in your basement. Perhaps they could use it to set up their own budget, begin to track their spending, get into our digital envelope system, and learn a crucial skill that will pay huge dividends when they're out on their own. You'll find it all on our website. at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and you're listening to Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Have you ever visited a city downtown? If you walk around long enough, you may see an historic church. What do you notice about it? There might be a tall steeple, big, beautiful doors in the front. These churches can be quite the architectural feat, but there's a greater building under construction. In Zechariah 6:13, we read of this project. It is the branch who will build the temple of the Lord, and he will be clothed with majesty and will sit and rule on his throne. The branch is none other than Jesus, our Savior, who's building the temple in you and in me. We read elsewhere that we are God's temple, and this is why. Because Christ is working and reigning in our hearts. You'll see Jesus more clearly through time in God's Word. Visit getanchored.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
I love AFR. You say it's on the radio too?
Here at American Family Radio, we know that many people find their audio entertainment in other places than the radio. So our programming is available with the AFR app on Apple and Android devices, through Amazon Alexa, and now available on Roku.
I just love the podcasts.
That too. American Family Radio, streaming our podcast, now available wherever you are. And we're on the radio.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time for your calls and questions. The calls are already coming in, but still a few lines open. Robert Youngblood ready to take your call today. He's standing by at 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you with whatever is on your mind today financially. We'll help you apply the principles and big ideas and themes from God's Word to the practical decisions and choices you're making every day. You can call right now. Again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Hey, before we dive in today, let me remind you, Faith and Finance is listener supported, which means we rely heavily on your listener support to bring you this broadcast every day, to provide the resources, the articles, the podcasts, the app that we provide, our certified Christian financial counselors, all of it as a result of your generous support. So if you would consider a gift, this would be a great time to do it. Here halfway through the month of August, we're just slightly behind our giving goal for the month. So a gift of any amount would go a long way to helping us reach that goal by the end of this month. So you can give quickly and easily and securely, I might add, on our website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click the give button. Again, any amount, whether it's $400 or $4,000, whatever you can do, it would go a long way. Faithfi.com. Just click give. All right, we're going to dive in today. Again, a few lines open, 800-525-7000. Let's begin in Georgia. Rose, you'll be our first caller. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
So I'm wondering what to do with excess money that we made from a sale of our home. My husband and I are 65 and 63, okay. First-time parents 4 years ago. Of a 17-month and a 5-year-old, and wow. We decided to try to pay off all our debts,
yep.
So that their future looked secure as ours, you know, ages. And so I have a lot of information. I'm not sure where to start.
Okay, very good. Well, just tell me, did you all take on foster kids? Did you adopt? What were you doing?
There are great nieces.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. Yeah. Well, I'm confident the Lord is honored and pleased with that. And what a blessing that you're taking them on in this stage of life. And I know they will be forever grateful. And I love that you're thinking about getting your financial house in order at the same time. So just give me kind of a rundown of what you've got currently. So you are debt-free, including your mortgage. Is that right?
Well, we had two properties, one a rental property in Georgia, which is why we're now living here. We just moved. We got here Sunday. And basically, I'm the sole income maker at present, about $115,000 a year if I count my bonus. And allowances, we have like $6,000 cash on hand, and we netted about $276,000 from the Florida property, paid off this Georgia property at $161,000. We have $115,000 left and $50,000 and change in credit card debts for really the Christian school that we had paid for, and we're going to start homeschooling.
Oh, that's great. I love that. So the current home in Georgia is paid off. The Florida home has been sold. And after all that's been done, you've got $110,000 to $115,000 just currently sitting in a savings account, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And you said you've got some credit card debt. How much was on those credit cards?
Just over $50,000.
Okay.
$50,343.
Okay. All right. Tell me about, do you have any other liquid savings other than, you know, that the amount that remains from the sale?
Yeah, like 401k and Roth or a Roth, whatever that is, IRA.
Okay. Yeah. So if you put all those retirement accounts together plus the stocks, what do you think that's worth total?
My 401k at work is around 40-something thousand. I had written it down. Now I can't find it. And Ken, what is the rest?
The Roth IRA and stocks worth about 100,000.
Yeah, so 100,000 in stocks and Roth IRA.
Okay,
the
great.
Other one.
Yeah. And what is your plan for working, Rose? Are you planning to continue to work for the foreseeable future?
Yes, I am. I love my job. 12 years there, doing good, and as long as I'm mentally able, I can do it. I work remotely, so there's that benefit.
Very good. And then beyond that, you're obviously neither of you have started collecting Social Security at this point, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so you're just living solely off of your income, and you've got about $140,000 in investable assets. What are your total expenses, would you say, on a typical month, roughly?
Now will probably be, if I exclude the credit card debts, what would you say? Maybe $3,000 a month, considering food and gas and insurance, taxes.
Yeah. I'd love for you to take a hard look at that, especially now as your situation's changing. It's always a good idea to have a budget, a spending plan. Now it's really going to be critical for you all to have a documented plan every month on what is your income, what are your expenses, not only those things you get a bill for, but the discretionary spending, eating out or buying some clothes. Also those non-recurring expenses. You might have a quarterly insurance payment or an annual HOA, something like that. All that needs to be baked in. You know, Christmas is going to take on a whole new meaning now with you having two kids in the mix, and you could plan for that every month, 1/12 of what you want to have for Christmas. When you put all of that in there, I mean, let's say that's as much as $3,500 a month. I'd love for you to have 6 months worth of expenses. So that's about $20,000. So if it were me, what I would focus on is let's eliminate the credit card debt as long as you've rectified what got you there in the first place. And that's going to be key to getting that spending plan in place where the budget balances and you have a little cushion left over. I'd pay off that credit card debt because those credit card interest rates are probably sky high unless you're playing the balance transfer game and you've got a temporary, you know, 0% interest or something. So that would be $50,000 of the $115,000. And then if you add $20,000 to it for, you know, my emergency fund, that's going to take, about $71,000. So if we take $115,000, that would leave you about $44,000. And what I'd like for you to do is try to get that into a tax-deferred environment. So if you haven't made the Roth IRA contributions this year, you guys could put in, you know, $14,000 between the two of you, $7,000 apiece. You could accelerate your 401k contributions. If you're not maxing that out, that would be an opportunity, even if that, by maxing it out, took too much away from your spending plan, you could supplement that out of savings, thereby kind of transferring into that tax deferred environment. And so now all of a sudden we're in a situation where we've got a balanced budget, we've got 6 months worth of reserves in an online savings account earning 4.5% interest, we've eliminated the credit card debt, so that's gone, which now that payment doesn't have to be made every month, and we're accelerating the money going into our retirement savings, which that's going to be key because, you know, you guys, at some point, you're going to want to wait as long as you can to take Social Security. Let's say because you love your job, you wait 7 more years at least, which means you both wait until age 70 to take your Social Security. Well, now you're going to get an additional probably 24% over and above what you would have received at full retirement age every month in the form of that Social Security check. And let's say you grow this 140 plus the 40 you have, call it 200 to 400, 500,000, you know, over the next 7 years. Well, you know, that'll give you another 20,000 a year to add to your income. Let's finish off the air, but hopefully that gives you some direction. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Greetings, everyone. I'm Dr. Matt Ayers, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Most Christians only know the Bible at a surface level. We believe it, but do we really know it? I want to invite you to join the Wesley Institute presented by Wesley Biblical Seminary. The Institute's a 9-month program that will give you an in-depth understanding of all 66 books of the Bible taught by seminary professors. You can join live from anywhere in the world or watch the class videos on your own schedule. To learn more, visit wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Here at the AFA Foundation, we help families just like yours shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Chelsea Wildman.
We would love to work with you to see if a charitable gift annuity is right for your situation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Why not reach out to the AFA Foundation team today?
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
Oh, we use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
We're so grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Hey, if you'd like to jump into our Faith and Finance community, ask a question, get an answer, maybe check out our Learn tab in our app where you can get the best content in Christian finance, podcasts, videos, articles. It's all there in the FaithFi app, which you can check out on our website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Or you can find it in your app store wherever you get apps. Just search for FaithFi, Faith and Finance. You can download it today. We'd love for you to check it out. The community and all the content, absolutely free, including broadcast archives of this program. FaithFi.com. Just click app. All right, we're going to head back to the phones. We've got a few lines open, 800-525-7000. In just a moment, we'll head to Missouri and talk to Guy about advisors that he says he's wondering when they say they don't get paid unless you get paid. Is that true? We'll get to that in just a moment. But first to Texas. Hi, Tina. How can I help you with your parents' rental property?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I believe, been asked by God to help my parents. They're elderly now, but they have rental property that's in a lot of debt. Yeah. And so my issue with the property is my goal is to have the property be in the black and to tithe on it. But the problem is that we're about $27,000 in credit card debt, and my parents have put personal loans on it to help with repairs on the house over $95,000. We don't have an emergency fund, and there's a parking lot in the area that we need for the houses. A church owns it, but if we get a loan for that particular property, it would be over $100,000. So my question is, would it be wise to try and get that property, or should we try and pay off the debt?
Yeah.
So it's just, I'm just kind of overwhelmed. And then I want an emergency fund, which we don't have now because we've had so much repair work, and some of it has been poor management as well.
Sure. Sure. Well, I'm delighted to hear that you're coming alongside to help them, Tina. I know that's going to go a long way, and I think you're correct to raise these concerns. I guess before we even think about adding any more debt, obviously the $27,000 in credit card debt concerns me just because the interest rate is probably sky high on that. But with that $95,000, what kind of debt is that? Is that like a home equity loan, or what is that?
No, it was money from my mom's accounts and my dad's accounts, like my dad's savings.
Okay, so you don't owe $95,000, you put $95,000 into it?
Right, but they're being paid back from the houses. Like one of their, my dad took out a credit union loan and he's being paid like $320 a month. Oh. And then my mom has money going back to her, like $687. So it's like they loan money to the rental property, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure. But this is their rental property, right? Their names are on the deed?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So they're just looking at it like, okay, this is a business and therefore the business needed some working capital. We're going to loan it from ourselves personally and pay ourselves back. But it's all, you know, it's just different buckets. It's all our money, correct?
Correct.
All right. Now, are they able to cash flow the debt service on all of this and still have something left over at the end of the month based on the rental income, meaning pay each of themselves those scheduled monthly payments to pay themselves back, plus cover the debt service on the credit cards?
Yes, but we're just paying the minimum and we're still like using some money that they've loaned to the houses to do some repair work. So we basically, it's like from one rental income to the next. I guess paycheck to paycheck, but I'm not saying it correctly.
No, I get it. It's paycheck to paycheck, but in the case of a rental property, rental income to rental income. There's really no margin. I mean, there's just enough, and even some months there's not enough to cover the minimums on the credit card plus pay themselves back on the debt. Because if you have something unexpected come up, then you're underwater, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So then we absolutely don't need to take on the parking lot. I realize, you know, that may be causing challenges to even maximize the true value of the property if there's no parking. And so that may be a bigger issue that just speaks to the viability of these properties and keeping them rented and maximizing the rental income. But clearly there's not enough there, to service the debt and cover the expenses without, this new loan. And obviously that would be even more problematic with a new $100,000 loan at the interest rates where they are now. Is the lack of that parking creating a problem? I mean, would that parking lot in some way provide more income, or would you have the same income?
No, it would be the same. It works out right now because it's owned by a church and they're allowing us to park there unless, they have a big event.
Okay.
So we wanted to try and get it from the church.
Yeah.
If possible.
Well, yeah, now's not the time to do it. I think the challenge is just, given the debt that they already have, I would say what they probably need to do is focus on directing what they're currently paying themselves back with, if they have the ability to do this and still cash flow their personal expenses, redirect that to the credit cards, and let's try to get that paid off as quick as possible just because of those interest rates, and try to get this on a more solid footing where, with that gone, hopefully they can continue to service the debt that they're paying back to themselves just out of the regular cash flow and start working toward paying this down. Let's continue to take full advantage of that generous offer by the church to park in their lot without buying it, just because that's going to really put the squeeze on with all of these loans. And then you're right, they need to get to a place where they have reserves. And there's a few ways you can think about reserves with a rental property. One is a percentage of the rent. So somewhere between 15 and 30%, which is going to depend on the age of the property. So 15 for new construction or newly renovated, 30 for an older home in a weaker market. You can go a second approach, which is just a number of months of fixed monthly expenses. So like property management, lawn care, utilities, plus, any debt service, 3 to 6 months worth of those expenses. And the third is just itemize all the major appliances and capital expenditures and actually set aside what you need for the true replacement cost of all of those items. There's a lot to this, but they'll get there. Stay on the line. We'll talk off the air and we'll be right back.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
As I say so repeatedly, the Word of God is so rich. You read something, you've read it before, and then one time you read it and bam! Something comes out like a Sugar Ray Leonard jab, right in the eyes. Whoa, Lord, where did that come from?
The Hamilton Quarter with Abraham Hamilton III, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio, or grab the podcast at AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year.
And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. But there is hope and healing from an abortion. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. 866-482-LIFE.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got lines open. We'd love to hear from you. Guy in Missouri has been really patient, and we're coming to you in just a moment, Guy. But first, Tina, I know you had a follow-up question on that rental property related to tithing. Quickly, go ahead with that.
Yes. My question is, once God helps us to get out of this debt, how do I set things up for tithing on the income that we receive?
Yeah. You know, New Testament giving is giving freely, giving cheerfully, giving proportionately, but certainly in the Old Testament, under the law of Moses, which we're not under anymore, it's a great principle, I think, that we can use to apply to our systematic giving as a beginning point. A lot of folks like to do that. A lot of churches teach tithing. I think that's fine. You know, if you want to apply the principle of the tithe to a business, you do it a little differently than you do with your personal income, because when we look at our personal income, our increase, which is what the tithe is based on, is anything we receive. I would say it's wages, it's gifts, it's, you know, an inheritance. That's all your increase. Not so with a business. You've got expenses. You don't really have a true increase until you recognize your profit. So what I would do is with a rental property is I would say, okay, you take a maybe a scheduled period of time every year. Maybe it's once a year when you pay your taxes and you say, okay, I got all this rental income, but then I paid all the expenses. I had debt service, and that in your parents' case, that includes the money they're paying themselves back with. I had marketing expense to get a renter in there. I had property taxes and insurance. I had to put a new roof on. At the end of the year, I had, you know, X dollars in profit over and above all of the expenses. That's your increase. And so if then you wanted to tithe on that as a business, which is what a rental property is, it's just a sole proprietor business, then you would write a check and make a gift. Does that make sense?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, Tina, God bless you. Thanks for walking alongside your parents during this season of life. I know they're grateful. All right, Guy, you've been incredibly patient there in Missouri. How can I help you, sir?
Hey, good morning.
Hi there.
Thank you very much for your service. Really appreciate your heart. Currently, we have no money in the stock market, so I just want to tell you that up front. But I'm sure everyone has seen the commercials that one particular company says that they only do better when their clients do better. So do they make any money off of you if your investments don't do better?
Yes, they do. So here's the key to that. Most fee-based money managers that charge, and they would typically charge for active money management, a percentage of the assets under management. What they do is oftentimes they won't have commissions, so they don't earn a commission on a trade, like a percentage of a purchase, like a load mutual fund. They use no load mutual funds, or they buy individual stocks, so they're not earning commissions, but they're getting a percent of the assets under management. So when they say we do better when you do better? Well, 1.5% of 150,000 is more than 1.5% of 100,000. So if you gave them 100 and they grow it to 150, you've done better and they're going to do better because they're getting a percentage of that bigger amount. But let's say your 100 goes to 75. Well, they're still going to get paid. They're just going to get 1.5% of 75,000. So it's not, keep in mind, it's not we don't get paid unless you make money. No, it's we do better when you do better, which is a good thing. I mean, I'm a fan of fee-based money management where you'd work your whole life to build up a nest egg. You have a money manager who's focused on, helping you manage that money, and they're active and they're incented to protect it and make it grow. I would use an advisor who's a fiduciary, who's required by law to put your interests above their own. And yes, they get paid every quarter, no matter whether you're making money or losing money, but they are going to get more as your account grows. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's kind of what I thought, but thought I'd better find out.
Okay. All right, Guy, we appreciate your call today. I do think as you think about getting started in investing, it is absolutely worthwhile to have an advisor who's not emotional, who can use a kind of a rules-based process, who can help you think about what types of asset classes to use. And then obviously the individual investments in those asset classes help you minimize risk, not take unnecessary risk, meaning being more risky than you need to be based on your goals and your season of life and your risk tolerance. And this is a whole new area of investing that's really just exploding. They could even help you align your values to your investments if that was a conviction of yours. Eliminating companies, paring back the universe of investments to eliminate companies that are misaligned with your values, and even screening in companies that are intentionally or specifically aligned with your values, creating kingdom impact, promoting human flourishing. You know, there's a mutual fund, Eventide, one of the great faith-based fund families, you know, that they're doing some great work in investing in solar, but they're only doing it with companies that have eliminated human slavery in the solar supply chain, because it's very common in certain parts of the world when you for the solar industry to use slave labor. And they're saying, no, we're not going to invest in any company that's doing that. Well, in deploying your capital, they're actually promoting human flourishing, which is great. So, why not take advantage of that if you can? So I think for all of those reasons, there's really a really good case to use an advisor when it comes to investing. And if you listen to this program, you know we promote the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. Those advisors that have achieved the only industry accepted designation around biblically wise professional financial advice. And you can find a CKA in your area at faithfi.com. Hey, thanks for your call, Guy. Let's head to New Jersey. Michael, how can I help you, sir?
Yes, good morning, Rob. Thank you so much for the show and what you all do.
Thank you.
I had a question on claiming spousal Social Security versus claiming on your own record. So yeah. I'm 61. My wife is 65. So I'm not going to claim Social Security until probably 70 or at least 67. So she can't get the spousal benefit until I have claimed. My question is, if she can claim on her own earnings record. If she does that now, does that permanently? I know it will permanently reduce her own, but will that permanently also reduce what she would get from spousal benefit when that?
It does not. No. So whichever one you start taking does lock in that reduction. So you want to be very careful about taking that early. And I think there's a good case to be made for delaying that as long as possible to get that guaranteed 8% increase, especially if you're in good health. But you do have the option at any time to switch over to, if you started with the spousal benefit and then you let your own benefit grow, and then you could switch over because you are entitled to take the higher of either amount at any time.
time and vice versa. So if your spousal benefit up to 50% of your spouse's benefit is higher than your own benefit based on your own work record, you could wait and switch to that at full retirement age and get the full amount of that. So you are going to lock it in whenever you take it, but that doesn't lock in the other one, if that makes sense.
Okay, so she starts taking her own benefit early, that's not going to affect what she would ultimately get from my spousal benefit.
That is correct. She could delay on that and switch over to it. And if 50% of your benefit later is more than the benefit she's locking in now, then she could switch to that at any point. Always a good idea to make an appointment with SSA and just go over your own record to confirm it. But that's how it works. We'll be right back.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today, because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
This week on Truth for Life, we continue with Encore 2023, listener favorites from Alistair Begg about the dangerous consequences of rebelling against God and doubting His Word, and then be assured that sin and hell and spiritual warfare are real, but God and the gospel are mightier. That's this week on Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Well, this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. This is where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. Here's what we recognize, folks. The reason we gather here for an hour each day is nothing to do with enriching ourselves at its face value. It's really about understanding a biblical worldview of money, which starts with the idea that God owns it all. That's true. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And then we accept our role then as money managers of the King of Kings. We're stewards or trustees of what God has entrusted to us. It's all His. We're the managers, which means we need to know the manager's or the master's heart so that we can manage his money effectively. And then we see that money is more morally neutral. It's a tool to accomplish God's purposes. And one of those big ideas around money as a tool is generosity. God is the ultimate giver, right? And we were created in His image. So I like to say we're most like Him when we're giving. Well, what does it look like to live and give radically? Well, I'd love to talk about that for just a moment. By the way, we will have time to hopefully get to one or two more questions here. We've got some lines open. If you have a financial question today, call right now at 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear what's going on in your financial life and see if we can help you make some decisions and move forward with confidence. 800-525-7000. You can call right now. You know, as followers of Christ, we have the opportunity to practice radical generosity. And instead of financial pain, this kind of giving results in real joy. Now, why is Christian generosity different? Well, because Christians are different. As Christ followers, we want to be more and more like Christ as we walk with Him each day. As it says in Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. You see, Jesus gave Himself on the cross for us, so we can afford to be radically, sacrificially, and I would even say joyfully generous. So, what does that radical generosity look like? Well, in Exodus 35 and 36, God gives us some instructions through Moses for setting up the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle would be a place for the Lord to dwell among His people, the Israelites. Here's what this passage in the Bible tells us about radical generosity. I think this is really cool. First of all, radical generosity gives over and above for the work of God's kingdom. You see, Moses asked for donations to build the tabernacle. He says, everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen. You see, the people responded so generously that Moses actually has to tell them to stop. And I'm quoting again from God's word. It says, because what they already had was more than enough to do the work. Second, radical generosity means giving from whatever you have. Moses told the people to take from what you have an offering from the Lord. Remember, the widow in Luke 21, she gave her last two copper coins at the temple, and Jesus commended her. She's probably the most famous New Testament giver. We don't even know her name. Well, as Christians, we can give this way because of who God is. He's our provider, and He can use everything we give, whether it's a little or a lot, for His kingdom. Generosity is like this, and it never results in regret or huge credit card bills. Another point is that radical generosity gives more than just money. You see, Moses also asked the people to give their skills and time to help build the tabernacle, the skilled craftsmen of the day. He says, all who are skilled among you are to come and make everything the Lord has commanded. Finally, radical generosity is a matter of the heart. Exodus 35:20 says, everyone who was willing and whose heart moved him came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work on the tent of meeting, men and women alike. The Israelites responded willingly and generously to God's call because they wanted the Lord to live among them. Well, today in Christ, we have God's Holy Spirit in us. So how much more should we respond generously to meet the needs of those around us? You see, folks, when we practice radical generosity, we're being like Christ. We can afford to give over and above what's needed because God is our provider. We give out of what we have, no matter how little or how much, because that pleases the Lord. But we can give generously from all of our resources, including money, time, and talent. And finally, it comes from the heart. It needs to be a response to God's work in us through His Holy Spirit. So let me challenge you and your family, and I'm talking to myself as well, to practice radical generosity. Ask God to show you where He wants you to give, and then just do it. Let me wrap up with these thoughts on radical generosity. It's the words of the Apostle Paul from Acts 20:35. He says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He Himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You know, here's one of the realities, the things that I've experienced in all the years I've been doing this and counseling with thousands of folks and answering thousands of questions on the radio, is that those who are most free from the emotional byproducts of financial decision-making, the fear and the regret, is those that have really answered the question, first of all, who owns it? And then second, how much is enough? Because once we define enough, then it frees us up to be incredibly generous. It's a great opportunity. And what we also know by experience is that giving actually breaks the grip of money over our lives. You see, money has a way of competing with God for first position in our lives. Remember, it says in God's word, you cannot serve God and money. It also says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So we know that our heart follows our money, which can either be to the things of this world
or investing in the eternal. We also know in the parable of the sower that that which choked out the word from bearing a 30, 60, 100-fold return was the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things, covetousness, and the cares of this world. What do people care about? Well, I would submit they care about money a lot. And so if 2.5 maybe of those three reasons are related to money, then we know money is going to be a chief competitor to lordship. So how do we avoid that being the case in our lives? Well, we've got to cultivate that eternal perspective, but we also need to live and hold God's money loosely, which means we're giving it generously. So think about that today as you look at your own life and look at how you've ordered your finances, the story that your money management is telling about what's ultimately most important to you, and think about the opportunity to increase your giving. Maybe it's going to require you to stretch your faith a little bit and trust the Lord, but we'd love for you to do that. All right, I'm going to answer a couple of emailed questions, and then I might have time for one more financial question today by phone. If you have one, feel free to give us a call right now, 800-525-7000. All right, let's go to the email bag. This comes in to us at askrob@faithfi.com. Pat writes to us, "I've been saving money for my retirement for decades. However, I have an aggressive cancer and I don't have much time. I want to give my $400,000 in retirement funds to my family and several charities. I don't want it to get stuck in probate court. What's the best way? A trust or a testamentary trust or something else? Thank you for your wonderful ministry. It's a wonderful resource. I started listening back in the Larry Burkett days, and that's amazing." Pat, boy, we are so sorry to hear about your situation from a health standpoint. We're so thankful for the hope of heaven that we all enjoy, and none of us know when our next breath will come. But I'm also grateful that you want to make this last stewardship decision that we all ultimately will make in a way that's effective and efficient so that your wishes can be honored and you can pass what God has entrusted to you to the next steward, because we want to make sure that the next steward is not only chosen, but also prepared. So here's what you can do, Pat. You can set up a living trust, or what's called a revocable trust, that would allow your assets to go directly to your beneficiaries without going through probate. A testamentary trust is set up within a will, so that wouldn't escape probate. So if you're wanting to go around probate, have this pass efficiently outside of the probate court, outside of the public record, you would want a living or a revocable trust. And we'll ask the faith and finance community to be praying for you as you navigate these times. And we'll ask the great physician even to touch and heal your body if that be his will. Thanks for writing to us. This one comes to us from Lee. He says, "I have a question regarding a new car purchase. With hard work and discipline, my credit is now 750. Congratulations, Lee. I'm concerned about my car breaking down some night, leaving me stranded. Vehicles are so expensive. I'm praying. I don't have a clear answer. Should I wait or trade it in before something goes wrong?" You know, if you're really concerned about this happening, you should probably buy a more reliable car. I wouldn't want you to live in fear. However, here's the key. Do your homework. Buy an affordable car that meets your basic needs. Make sure you have it checked out by a reliable, independent mechanic, somebody who can give you an objective opinion on whether this is the next car for you. Try to save as much as you can, Lee. Make as big a down payment as you can. And as an aside, it's a good idea to have a few towing companies already saved in your phone. That way, if you did get stuck, you know, maybe you get AAA or something that would allow you to get to where you need to go safely. But, you know, if you've got a lot of major repairs, usually the rule of thumb there is if the total repairs are more than half the car's value or more than 1 year of total car payments, then it's probably not worth fixing it. It's probably time to move on to that next automobile. But hey, if you do your homework, you can find that next reliable car that is a few years old where you've missed some of that depreciation. You may need to travel. Last car I bought three states away out of about a month of research, but I saved about $4,000. Flew up there, picked up the car, and drove it home the next day, and we've been driving it ever since. So listen, you'll get there, Lee. We appreciate you writing to us. Hey, by the way, folks, if you have a question you'd like us to read on the air, send it along. Askrob@faithfi.com. That's askrob@faithfi.com.
All right, that's going to do it for us today. Listen, I couldn't do this each day without my amazing team. I want to say a big thank you to Robert Sutherland on our phones today, our engineer and producer, Mr. Devin Patrick, our research assistant today, Mr. Robert Sutherland. So thankful for those gentlemen and for you for being along with us today. Have a great rest of your day and join us tomorrow. We'll be here. See you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.